Thanks be to God.
Whew, that was some heat that God brought there. Did you feel all that? Whew, that was rough. It's like all of those things that you think about what I call bad God out there, right? What I mean by bad God is that God who's going to come out and get you, right? It's all right there, but I want you to think about why those words. And that those words are directed at highly religious people. That those words are directed at a very particular kind of religious core. And that there are all kinds of other words in this Bible that contrast with everything we just said there, that are full of mercy and compassion and grace and love. You know who those words are generally for? All the non-religious people. So welcome to church this morning. Welcome to Religion 101. It's good to have you all here, right? And we have gathered for a very particular reason, to hear these words, to not make the same mistakes as so many people throughout history have made around faith. And so today we start this new sermon series, Spiritual but Not Religious, which is often a phrase that we hear in society, right? When asked about people's faith, religion, spiritualities, practices, philosophies, people will answer, well, I'm spiritual, but not religious, right? Which probably means they are on a trail about right now this morning, right? Or a coffee shop, or, oh, wait a minute, that was half of you last week, right? Yeah, right? You and I gravitate towards this term, even if we can't fully define it, because we have a pretty good sense inside of us what the connotation around religion is today. And if I even surveyed most of you and asked you, like, are you religious? And I put that little tone to the way that I said it, you'd probably go, not really. I don't feel that way about myself. I'm not really religious. I don't feel that rigid, right? I'm not really orienting my life around all these rules and regulations and all these things. Like, I've heard of that kind of religion. Some of us even grew up in that kind of religious culture. But that's not what's happening in this room. Is it? I want you to think for a moment. Why is it that you and I show up to something like this? Is it to check off some boxes because you and I are afraid of what I referenced earlier, bad God? That you think there's some scary God in the sky who's come down and going to get you, and you're like, you know what, I better check off some boxes to make sure I'm good? Or what if you're the kind of person that goes, nah, I want something more than that. I want to be better than everybody else. Ah, now that's a fun way that religion has been used throughout history, isn't it? Oh, not just history, today. That there are folks who go, you know what, if I not only check off these boxes, but I excel in these boxes, and I create some more boxes that might privilege me over other people, then all of a sudden, I get to look wonderful and great, and I'm in, and I'm above, and other people are out and below. See, religion is often used that way. Or it might even go a little further. What if you want what someone else has? Well, I could create a whole little religious definition for that, can't I? where I not only exclude you, but also want to justify taking from you all in the same move. And religion has been used throughout history to do this over and over and over again. And I believe that is contrasted with this idea that lives in this room over and over and over again. This idea of grace. This idea of a God who is good, who is life-giving, who rather than looking at us like this, right? And sorry for anyone in the room who has their arms closed right now, right? My wife always looks at me and goes, hey, get your arms down, right? Because I do it all the time. But rather than a God who's like this and looking over us, judging us, what if God is like this? What if God's running towards you and you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to hug God or God's about to hug me, but like we're going to meet in the middle here and there's going to be a lot of love right there, right? That's the kind of grace. That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of God that is in the room here. That's the kind of God that I want every single kid and student who was up here earlier to know about. That's the kind of faith that we're trying to form and cultivate and nurture. Rather than trying to instill and push and force. Imagine if faith inspires us to be more open and loving and curious rather than judgmental, fearful, and critical. Imagine. Because even in that word, imagine, is stuffed all the things that good God, good faith, good grace is all about. Because it invites us to have a whole experience, to use our minds for the best in us and the best in others, rather than go, don't imagine anything at all. Believe exactly what's put in this prescribed box to you. And here, if you question any of it, bad God's going to get you. Right? And so often in our world, religion is defined as this box. And that you have to believe those details no more. Don't question any of it. And conform to it. But what if our God, our faith, and what is best for you and me and our entire world is something that is very, very different than these boxes that have been handed to people throughout time? What if God puts it inside of me to look around and go, well, look at you. You're made in the image of God. I bet you have some really incredible experiences. And, well, look over here. I see something pretty incredible right there. And it might look different than my own. In fact, the two people I just pointed to right there, Laura and Phyllis, I know we have pieces of our faith that are quite overlapping. And yet each of them have perspectives and experiences and encounters that are so different than my own. And when I'm open to them, God floods in good God, good grace, good faith, goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. And in that, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.